this is the Elections Committee of the Pacifica National Board meeting on Monday, March 2nd, for the first meeting of the year. This is Carolyn Burden convening this meeting. And I think the first thing we need to do is to sort of approve an agenda, but we really need to have roll taken. So if I may call the roll so we know who's here, and then we can go on to the agenda. Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Okay. Steve Brown? Jim Brown?
Here.
Tico Chassin? Bill Crozier?
I'm here.
Okay. Anthony Fast?
Here.
Good. Okay. Zakai Free? Jane Gatewood?
Point of order.
Those are members.
Can we do that as soon as we finish the roll? I just want to get through this.
Well, it's about the roll.
Right. Things coming up, or?
Yeah.
Jane Gatewood resigned last year, and Zakai Free was never elected to the committee.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Lauer.
Tracy Lauer. Oh, hi, Michael. Tracy Larkins.
Present.
Good. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Afia Nwangaza. Okay, Leslie Radford.
Here.
Wendy Schroll.
Here.
Barney Simmons.
Here.
And Yosha Manaka.
Here.
Art Stasny. Okay, I think that's it. Now I think, does everybody have a copy of the agenda? The draft I sent, the revised draft, actually, that I sent out.
What time did you send it, just so we have the right one?
It says revised on the top, and it was sometime this afternoon, later this afternoon.
1:51 Pacific time.
Thank you.
Point of information.
Please.
Yes, I'm wondering if anyone invited Art Stasny, because I did not.
I spoke with Art earlier, and he said he wouldn't be able to make the call.
Oh, okay. Good enough. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Well, we have a draft agenda, and we have... we can go over this, I would appreciate it. I think I notified everyone there was some question about whether the Foundation Council could be on, and I didn't hear from them until late this afternoon. So we agreed that 9 o'clock would be a good time for him to come on, more or less. And if that is item number 5. So the agenda... is the approval of the agenda, then the election of a chair and secretary pro tem, because I'm just the convener, and then approval of meeting minutes. We now have 2 sets of minutes. And then setting a schedule for the next meetings. I was hoping to make that 6 days for every month. And then a discussion with our foundation counsel, Ricardo De Anda, about the question of hiring a corporation versus hiring an individual as a national election supervisor. Next item, let's see what else was there. Working group reports, we had several of those listed. Steve Brown membership list, Bill Crozier on vendor and hybrid election issues, and Carolyn Burden on staff lists. Then old business, oops, that's 2 number 6s, I'm sorry to say. Old business should be 7, and new business should be 8. And then if you would change 7A, B, and C to 8A, B, and C, there are 3 items on new business. Transition to electronic voting, changes to MEMSIS that we want to request or recommend, and then updating the manual, the elections manual, which may not belong there. All right, any... move to approve the agenda?
Carolyn?
With Bill. Yes, Bill.
Mm-hmm. I forgot. Now, are we going to, we're still going to discuss the recommendations from the working group? Or that would come under?
Working groups for number 6.
Steve Brown.
Hi, Steve. Okay, working group.
I guess the recommendations of the... basically, the evaluations of the vendors needs to be in executive session. So.
That's executive session, yes. Oh, yes, I forgot to add that at the end of this, we have an executive session. We might want to add a time certain to end this meeting so that we can go into executive session while everybody's still here. So I would move, entertain a motion to approve the agenda, and then we can amend it, or amend it first, whichever you like.
And then first, I think.
Amend it first, okay. Any suggestions?
This is Bob.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I posted several points about 45 minutes ago. Let me just go through them. And for those who are new, I was the chair pro tem last year, and so there were some items that should be carried over. But before I get to the carryovers, let me just talk about the RFP process. In the working group last meeting, we agreed that the discussion of the process of choosing a bidder is only something that needs to be an executive session insofar as we actually get into the individual bidders, their pros and cons, and what they're offering, the details, the nitty-gritty. But as far as the process by which we should make that decision and, you know, what steps we take, how we vet different bidders, that is a perfectly public process, and we should always do the maximum we can do under the, open meetings provisions. So with that in mind, my proposal, which was what we agreed in the working group to propose, is that we start with an update on what's happened up till now. Again, not naming any names, just generally what has been the steps leading till now. And I think this should be while the council is on the phone, so he's clear on where we're at in the process. And then we speak with the council, and then after that, we then talk about the next steps. Again, not naming the names, but what are the processes we're going to use to pick a vendor? So that's the First Amendment. And why don't you take that one, and then I have several more.
Well, we only have a few minutes before council comes on, and I think that he has a limited amount of time. So I would suggest, if that is not absolutely necessary, that we postpone that discussion until after we talk with him about the very specific issue that he is coming on to discuss. That would be my suggestion, that we postpone that, because you have a lot of changes here that could take us a very long time. And we're open for discussion on that motion. Anybody else have a thought?
A question?
Wendy?
Well, it sounded like Bill was first. Let me wait for him, because I'm new.
I was just going to suggest if you just ask if there's any objections to Bob's proposal.
Okay, I'm nixing Bill. I do have a comment.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Wendy.
So you're having the attorney on to answer a specific question, and I guess it's a bylaws question about whether it's appropriate to hire a company rather than a guy? Is that what
Yes, did you
it
get
is?
Did you get the long email that I sent out about that?
No.
Quite a bit.
I don't have any of the emails.
Oh, my goodness, that's terrible.
I have working group emails, but that's it.
You were on that list. Do you have that list set for read-only, perhaps, or something? Because I was quite sure
you were
on the list.
What's it called?
PAC underscore elections.
Not on there.
She's not on there.
Okay.
Oh, dear. Okay, sorry.
Okay, well, it's all right, then I'll just try and be quiet, because I could just ask questions about every item.
That's important. Can someone forward that to her right now? I would appreciate that.
Wendy at radio, the number 4, Houston.org.
Wendy?
Yes.
I sent you another invite to Yahoo Groups, so if you check your email and maybe you can respond to Yahoo Groups, and then you'll have access to all of our postings.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, I'm right, because they have that. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, well, I'm waiting very patiently.
Mm-hmm. Any other objections in mind to Bob's proposal that we do this before council comes on?
Can I just add a quick thing? And that is that I think this can be a very fast update that perhaps our convener, Anthony, could just kind of, for the benefit of the council, just kind of summarize what's happened to date, because it does bear on the issue that he's giving us advice on.
Do you want to do that now?
No, I meant okay. if my agenda amendment is accepted, then as first thing when he comes on, you would give your report to put a context on the question that we're asking him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are there any other objections than mine? Well, then, in the interest of speed, I'll withdraw that, and we'll approve that as proposed. Okay, so that is approved. Now, what was your next point, Bob?
Okay, so then there's some carryover items. I would add a 6D that we had before from the cost-cutting working group, which just had one item left from the earlier discussion that we presented, which was on a proposal to extend delegate terms to 4 years.
I didn't remember that at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of a biggie.
It is a biggie, and I'm not I'm not proposing that tonight we have the discussion of it, but just to sort of present it since there are new people on the committee this year. So I'm saying 10 minutes, and obviously we're not going to make any decisions, just to kind of put it out on the table.
I didn't remember that from the minutes, but I will add that as listed if there are no objections.
Okay, and then
okay, what's next?
Two more. Under old business, we had the motion on arbitration of disputes on unpaid staff lists, which I would suggest 15 minutes, and the motion on campaign finance reform, which I would suggest 20 minutes.
Campaign finance reform, what was that from?
Well, that's a carryover from a motion from the PNB from quite a while back about looking, you know, having kind of like a total examination of the problem of the influence of money in elections and how we can fix that.
Yeah, that keeps resurfacing, and I don't think it's after a certain amount of time, I know that items do die off agendas. I don't remember that being on a recent agenda, so I would like to move that down to new business, if you don't mind, because it doesn't seem to me to be appropriate under old business. That keeps resurfacing and getting kicked around and put back. So anybody object to putting it under new business? All right, thank you. Then they'll make that 8D under new business. All right, and then what is next now?
No, that's it, except I think you had a good point about a time certain to end the public session so that we leave enough time for the executive session. So I don't know, maybe 10:30.
Yes, I don't... We may need more time than that. All right, 10:30 sound reasonable to everyone? I'm not sure how much time we need here.
As just the time that we would break the public session?
Yes.
Yikes.
Well, it's only 2 hours. We do have a three-hour maximum, and we did start pretty close to 8:30. So, anybody hit Bill?
I think we're going to need some time, quite a bit of time to discuss the vendor proposals in executive session.
Yeah, me too.
The actual proposals rather than the process.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to go 3 hours. I don't know if the rest of you are.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's make it 10:30, and we can change it with two-thirds if we get fatigued at 10 o'clock.
Well, the older people have so much less time in their lives that getting up so much time may seem like a sacrifice.
All right, we'll let that one slide.
I'm sorry, can I change that a little? Because I'm concerned that, you know, as people are pointing out, this may be a lengthy discussion about the vendors. So let me change it to 10:15.
10:15? All right.
Yeah.
All right, that's optimistic. Any objections to that change? All right, so 10:15, time certain, and we would need two-thirds to change that. All right. Any other changes to the agenda? May we assume the agenda approved then without objection? All right. Thank you. Now, next is an election of a chair and a secretary pro tem. Are there any nominations for that?
Nominate Bob Lederer.
Second.
I nominate Carolyn Burden.
Second. Does Yosh want to do it?
Do what?
I nominate Yosh Yamanaka.
Wait a minute, Wendy. Nominate for what? Chair?
Chair.
Pro Tem? No, mm-hmm. Thank you, but I'll...
It's not Chair Pro Tem, is it? Sorry, Yosh. Okay. Is it Chair Pro Tem or Chair?
Chair Pro Tem.
But,
oh, just tonight
I'll
because we haven't
part.
Had a...
Okay, sorry about that. I move to close nominations.
Second.
All right, now, how do we do that? We do a voice vote on this? I guess so.
Just a pro tem chair.
Mm-hmm.
But when do you guys want to elect an actual chair?
I think usually that there's a paper procedure. Don't we have to do that by paper?
Yes.
On paper? Yeah.
This is Bob. Yeah, we have to wait until WPFW has elected their reps, which
right.
You know, we just heard from Jim Brown mm-hmm. will happen next week. So at our mm-hmm. next meeting, we'll have a full contingent, and we can have, and it is, all elections for permanent positions must be by written ballot, according to the bylaw.
Actually, we have to wait for KPFA, too.
Oh
really?
True. I forgot.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
They haven't
when is your yet. Meeting, A?
14th.
14th. Okay, thank you. Well, all right. Do we want to take a vote on this? Maybe, Yosh, can you want to call the roll on this one?
Certainly. I'll call the roll. Wesley Bethune.
Here. Are we voting?
I guess you need to indicate either
yeah,
Carolyn
what, who
or,
are,
or
who
Bob.
Are we voting? Why, how are we doing this? I don't understand.
We're voting for Chair Pro Tem. And the
okay, so I pick one of two people.
That is correct.
Carolyn.
Thank you. Carolyn.
Oh, I'm allowed to vote? Okay. I'll vote for myself.
Thank you. Steve Brown.
Carolyn.
Thank you. Jim
I
Brown.
Move that we end the voting right here.
You'll need a second. Jim Brown.
I vote for Bob.
Bill Crozier.
Abstain.
Anthony Best.
Oh, I'm afraid I'll have to abstain.
Tracy Larkin.
I'm going to vote for Bob. Sorry, Carolyn.
Bob Lederer.
I think I'm going to vote for Bob.
Okay, let us know if you change your mind. Leslie Radford.
Oh, I think I'll vote for Bob, too. Go with the flow here.
Wendy Schrell.
Carolyn.
Bonnie Simmons.
Bob did a good job last year. I'll vote for Bob.
And Yosh will vote for Bob. And so we've got four for Carolyn. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Bob.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you, folks. We will go forward with the election of the Secretary Pro Tem. Nominations are now open.
I nominate Wendy Schrell.
Very funny.
Funny, Wendy. One good turn deserves another.
And I vote for Yosh Yamanaka for secretary. I nominate.
I second that. Mm-hmm.
I really have to decline this. I'm swamped, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You're off the PNB. Maybe. Never mind.
I move that we close nominations.
Okay. Is there any objection to closing nominations?
Well, I would object, but I think that would be a technical formality.
Okay.
I see I'm on the short end of the stick here.
Yes, unfortunately, I think the handwriting is on the wall. So, is there any objection to electing Yosh as Secretary Pro Tem? Hearing none, then congratulations.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thank you, Yosh.
Yeah,
very
thanks
well.
Very much. You did a great job last year.
And Bob. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. So, next on the agenda is approval of meeting minutes. And Yosh, you have two sets for us, is that right?
Yes, I circulated two sets, one this morning, that was for December, and that one is ready, it's been polished, but the one circulated this afternoon for January is a first draft, and I haven't finished going through the tape, and therefore, I suggest we table January, but I think December is ready for consideration.
Okay, so are there any suggested changes to the December minutes?
This Bill, I haven't had time to look at them yet.
Okay. Did you want to move to postpone so that you can review them?
Yeah, I think I'd rather. I just got them before the meeting. I was out for the last couple of hours.
Okay. All right, so there's a motion to postpone consideration of the December minutes until the next meeting. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, then that's postponed, and the January minutes are also postponed until we have them in final form. Okay, so now we can move on to the meeting schedule. The question is, do we want to just set our next meeting, or do we want to attempt to fix a day? Now, I'm sorry, let me interrupt and ask, in terms of Mr. DeAnda's schedule, does he need us to go to him right at 9? Because this might take us, 7 or 8 minutes to settle. So should we come back to this, Carolyn?
Well, he said he was going to come on at 9 and maybe even a little earlier to hang out and listen, since he's not here yet.
Oh, so he'll come on himself. He's not waiting for our call?
No, he said.
Oh, okay. Then let's go forward with the meeting discussion. But, if we're having trouble reaching an agreement, we can interrupt and, speak to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So would someone like to propose either a specific date for the next meeting or an ongoing date? Actually, let me just offer the suggestion that since we are lacking two of our members, or four of our members, actually, who haven't been elected yet from A and W, I think it might be more reasonable for them if we don't set a fixed date at this meeting, but take that up at the next meeting. Is there any objection to just focusing on our next meeting date?
Well, I would like to focus on at least two. I understand the objection to waiting for four people, but it really is difficult. If we could do April and May, I'd really appreciate that. Otherwise, it gets very sticky.
I would, too. We tend to err on the side of not ever getting anything real done.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to propose maybe the first Monday. That's what we have this month, and I see that they're clear all the way through.
Well, I have a real problem with the first Monday of the month. This is Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Because I have another standing commitment the first Monday of every month that's been going on for the last couple of years now.
Could it be the second Monday?
Yeah, they're free.
Monday would be great for me.
Me too.
That's fine.
We could always change it later if the
new
people can't do it.
This is Leslie, and I'd like to keep it open to changing it later. Mondays are not the best for me. Not impossible, but not the best.
Can we talk about Tuesdays?
Unfortunately, I'm taking a class on Tuesday.
Tuesdays are out for me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there
can we
another
make
day?
It?
Bonnie, hold on. Let me just ask, because the two people who I've heard have a problem with Monday, Bonnie and Leslie, do either of you want to suggest a different day of the week other than Tuesday?
No, it's Jim that I think had a problem with first Mondays, not
Monday. Oh, Bonnie, you're okay with Mondays?
Well, except for April 13th, because the fact that Leonard Cohen is playing for the first time in 22 years.
That's certainly
all right.
Important. Okay.
However, we could go on without her because Leonard Cohen's playing at a different time in our city.
Yeah.
All right. So, does anyone want to make a different proposal for the? Let me just ask Leslie. You had had a problem with every Monday or just certain Mondays? In other words, next the
odds and ends of Monday is the problem. I don't know exactly which Mondays ahead of time. But don't, I'm on the road to another meeting right now. I'll work it out. I'll figure it out. Don't mess it up if it's comfortable for everyone else, don't mess it up for me.
Okay, well, let's start with the April meeting. So what was, I'm sorry, what was the proposal someone made? Which date?
Actually, April 13th.
13th, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any objection to Monday, April 13th?
Am I the only person that has a problem with that day?
Yeah.
Oh, you do have a problem. Okay.
That's Leonard Cohen Day.
Oh, that was the day.
I thought it was April 6th that was good for everybody, except maybe not Leslie.
No, Jim can't do
Jim
it.
Jim is unavailable on
the 6th. Oh, okay, sorry.
But how come you're here on this first Monday, Jim?
Because of snow, and we didn't have our meeting. We got snowed out this last night.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right. What about April 20th?
Are you looking at the KPFTX calendar, Bob?
Yeah, actually I am, and all of them are blank, so we're okay.
Okay.
This is Yosh.
Yes.
I'm just a little bit concerned about moving it that far back into April because, we have an RFP that I believe that we need to get that RFP, don't we, in front of the PNB?
That's an excellent point. Well, perhaps, given that, maybe we should meet on the last Monday in March. Would that work for people, Monday, March 30th?
I was just going to say, maybe we should try March 30th.
The day after the... Oh, never mind.
Is there anyone who has a problem with March 30th? Yes, Bill.
I think we need to try to do it as soon as we can. We're going to get into the process part. We need to interview, one or more election vendors. And as soon as we decide the working group, I guess we need to, unless we can do it as the whole election committee, we need to come up with a recommendation for the PNB because we're already behind schedule. Originally, it hoped to have a vendor selected and hired by March 1st.
Right.
How about this Friday?
Really.
Well, I have a suggestion. Why don't we defer this until we've agreed, in a few minutes, after we've spoken to Mr. DeAnda, we're going to discuss the process we're going to follow for making this selection. So once we've agreed on a process, that will sort of dictate when this committee needs to meet again in order to, as Bill says, to discharge our responsibility, as promptly as possible. So
we can pick an April date.
Well, that we could do.
Meanwhile, can we agree to March the 30th?
Well, what I'm actually saying is that, I think what Bill is saying is we may actually need to meet even sooner than that if the process is going to be that the working group interviews the folks and then if they report back to the committee and the committee reports to the PNB, that all, we're already starting out a little behind the eight ball, so it seems like we may need to be on a fast track on this. So,
they don't have to be Mondays.
Right. But is there any objection to just deferring that decision to a little bit later in the meeting when it's clear what steps we're going to take?
No objection.
Okay. All right. So then as far as the April meeting, where were we? We were batting around. Oh, right. We had one person who can't make the 6th, one person can't make the 13th. Given that we're going to be having this extra meeting in March, is there any objection to April 20th, Monday, April 20th? Oh, right. Leslie had a problem with Mondays. What about...
Don't make it prohibitive.
Okay.
Don't make my problem prohibitive.
Okay.
Hi, this is Ricardo.
Hi, Ricardo. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. We're just about to wrap up setting a date, and then we'll be right with you. So then is there any objection to Monday, April 20th for the two meetings from now? Okay, hearing none, then at 8:30 has been the time. Is there any objection to retaining that time, 8:30 Eastern?
Not here.
Okay, then that's it. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And now we want to welcome you, Mr. DeAnda, and we appreciate your spending your time with us tonight so we can get your input on this question. We wanted, if you could just bear with us for a couple minutes, we wanted to give you a very brief background on where the committee is at in the process and where the board is at in the process of seeking a firm to take over the administration of the elections for this year. And that will give you kind of a context for the question that we want to ask you, if that's all right?
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, Anthony, would you like to just bring everyone up to speed on what the steps we've taken so far and how we proceeded? And then anyone from the working group can chime in.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I'll do the two-minute version, perhaps. We're a working group, a subcommittee, sort of this committee, considering whether to contract out, so to speak, you know, some or all of the election process. And we spent quite a bit of time working up an RFP. We sent it out a number of places, potential bidders, and also an email list, you know, dedicated to voting process issues. We've got five responses to our RFP after going over them among ourselves in the working group. We decided to toss out one of them, among the reasons being that the bid by that organization was much higher than any of the others. So now we are left with four, and we've been following up with each of them, trying to fill in information that we wanted more detail on. That's it in a nutshell. Summarizing months of work in a few minutes. And any member of the working group should chime in as they like. Oh, one more thing I'd add. Among the tasks which were sent out with the RFP was a simulated election with about 40 STB ballots. You know, each bidder was to run that simulated election and send the results to us. So that's what we've done.
Does anyone want to add anything?
Yosh?
Yes, go ahead, Yosh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was maybe in the process of muting or something, but I'm not sure if Anthony mentioned the fact that we've taken a polling or a ranking of the four remaining mm-hmm. vendors. Was that mentioned? I don't know.
Yeah, we took our individual members of the working group did rankings of the remaining four vendors. Some people have said that they can't do that yet because they're still awaiting further information, which they'll need to decide. That was our most recent activity on the working group.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and again, this is Bob Lederer. I want to just make it clear to the council, but also to all the committee members, that we were very careful in drafting the RFP so that it explicitly notified any potential bidders that we do have bylaws provisions that govern the appointment and the responsibilities, the duties of both the national election supervisor and the local election supervisor. And we directed them, we gave them a web link to where they could read those bylaws and made it clear that any activity that they perform on behalf of Pacifica would be in conformity with the bylaws. And that would include that the appointment of by them, or the designation of a person to serve as national election supervisor, would be, and that would be recommended by the successful bidder, would be subject to the approval of our executive director. And similarly, the hiring of the local, or again, I should say, to be precise, the appointment of the local election supervisors, the five of them, would also be subject to the approval of the executive director. So that was made clear in writing to everyone who bid and when the bid was first put out in public.
Uh-huh.
Is there anyone else who wants to add before we, ask Mr.
Yeah, Carolyn here, yes. If I may, since I was the one who raised the objection in the first place.
Sure.
My question was not about the approval, but about the alternate responsibility of a national supervisor. My feeling was that if, in fact, this person were hired by a company, and the interests of the company conflicted with those of the foundation, there would be a conflict of interest there, which would be very difficult and shouldn't happen. So my alternative, and I think I sent around the motion in the draft agenda, was to have the executive director follow the bylaws explicitly, hire a national supervisor, at which point the PNB or the executive director could ask or require that the supervisor, and perhaps as a condition of employment, accept one of these companies, perhaps give a choice or not, as the company to help implement the elections process. So that the loyalty would be very clear that this would be a national supervisor hired by the executive director and answerable only to that person, and then that person, the new national supervisor, could then use the company to help execute the election. That my objection was that there might be a potential conflict of interest there, and there was some question about that. So at that point, we agreed to ask Ricardo De Anda to come and talk to us about this.
Okay, well, Mr. De Anda, did you have any questions of us, or do you just want to offer your opinion based on what you reviewed?
Well, I'll just launch right into it. First of all, I'd like to commend you all for what you're doing. This is clearly a critical function of Pacifica, and that's what gives it the groundwork, I'm sure, that's kept it going for so long. And you, obviously, you guys are doing a great job in terms of finding somebody who's up to the task. And as far as the housekeeping chore, with respect to the RFP, that's a flexible instrument. I know that you guys have put a lot of time into putting that together, but as far as how you use it with respect to the people that have responded to the RFP, you have flexibility in doing that. For example, I noticed that your RFP had a provision that the company was to hire a national election supervisor and the local election supervisors, and you have flexibility to say, well, no, we're not going to do that after all. And there's other parts of this RFP that we're not going to want you to do, or there's other things that we didn't put in the RFP that we're going to want you to do. So you have the flexibility to do that. And, of course, you know, you should keep the costs in mind. If you're adding responsibilities to them, then you're going to figure they're going to increase their fees and vice versa. I've spoken with Grace, your chair, on this issue, and with Carolyn, since she asked Grace if I would look at this. And my understanding is that the bylaws call for the executive director to select and hire a supervisor who's a person and not a company. However, given that it's not a simple task, it makes all the sense in the world to have a firm such as the firms you're looking at to assist the national election supervisor and the local election supervisors in conducting the election. What I would call a ministerial task, making sure that the stuff that needs to get done is accomplished. And then the national election supervisor would be the person that would be accountable to the board with respect to stuff happening according to the bylaws. So it makes sense to me for your executive director to select a national election supervisor and assist that person in selecting the local election supervisor, and then for your committee to recommend to the executive director who should assist the election supervisor in making sure that the elections are conducted according to the bylaws.
Well,
and Carolyn's concern about a conflict is well taken, because our bylaws speak specifically to that, and that can be, the conflict issues could be resolved by having an election supervisor who doesn't have a conflict and who's credible and has integrity and that people can trust. And that's what our bylaws ask for. And that's pretty much what I have.
Okay, well, thank you. I have a question for you, actually, based on that. I'm a little unclear on, I certainly hear what you're saying, that you think would be one path we could take, but what I'm not clear on is whether the path we've embarked on, which is to recommend a particular firm be hired by the foundation, and then that firm would propose an individual person as a national election supervisor, and the executive director could approve or veto that person, that with the concept that in terms of the trust and integrity and neutrality that the bylaws require and that, you know, all of us absolutely seek, that would all go into the careful vetting process in hiring the firm in the first place. And so the conflict, that would obviate any real conflict, because once the executive director, with, in this case, we're suggesting it be done with the advice of the board, once they make that selection, they would have already determined that the company and the individual are people that they have faith in, that they believe have shown themselves through their past clients, their work for past clients, that they have been neutral and fair and can be counted on to follow Pacifica's mandates and not, you know, their own quirk. So I guess what I'm asking you is it a, would you construe it as a violation of the bylaws to proceed down the path we've been proceeding down for several months now?
What I'm suggesting is that you can, your path does not need to be impeded in any way by what I see that the bylaws require, which is that the election supervisor be a person selected by the executive director, and it would be putting the cart in front of the horse to have the for lack of a better term, but I think it's pretty graphic, for the vote counter to be hiring the person who's going to be looking over the shoulders and make sure that it's done accurately and appropriately. Because the firm that you guys are looking for, I mean, when you dress it all down, I just see that they're basically vote counters. I mean, they obviously have a lot more than that in their duties, including making sure that everybody who's eligible gets the ballot or gets a chance to ask for a ballot on down the line. But in terms of making sure that it's fair and that it's done according to the rules, that's not really somebody that you hire. You select someone that you feel trust in to do that job. It could be the executive director, but the bylaws say that it should be somebody who's separate from the organization and allows us to pay that person. So I don't think that what I'm suggesting, which is to not give this firm the duty to select an election supervisor in any way gets in, impedes what you guys are doing.
This is Bill.
And yeah. Wendy after that?
Okay, Bill and then Wendy.
Okay, after that.
Yeah, well, just to be clear and to let you know, there are many other responsibilities besides vote counting. That's a pretty minor part of what the national and local election supervisors do.
Bill, can you talk louder?
Oh, I'm sorry. There are many other responsibilities besides vote counting. That's kind of a minor part for what the national election supervisor and local election supervisor does. And so I guess then, just to be clear, the question, main question was if the company, if the NES works for the company, is an employee of the company, the vendor, as long as our executive director can approve that person, would that still be okay and consistent with the bylaws?
When you throw the word in, the word employee in there, there's a problem. You can work around it by telling the firm, you'll select the election supervisor, but we'll tell you who to select. You can work around it that way. It can be an employee of the firm, but that's not. That person should be independent, and that person should definitely have the ability to call on experts to help in the task, because you're right, it's much more than just counting votes. It's a big task. But it seems to me that what your bylaws call for is that you have a person who's responsible for that, independent from whoever's helping. Now, he may call on an accountant, he may call on a lawyer, he may call on a... And you guys know that he's going to need, or at least it makes sense to hire someone to help in the sense that you're looking at firms to do that. And so it makes total sense for what you guys are doing. But you should have an election supervisor who's above all of this. Who does not work for that company, right? And that he's gonna crack the whip if that company's not doing its job. If he gets a call from a donor who says, you know, my neighbor got his ballot and I asked for mine and it's been 2 weeks since my neighbor got his, I haven't gotten it. Well, then we want our election supervisor to crack the whip and say, you guys are supposed to make sure everyone gets their ballot.
Huh?
That's the purpose of the election supervisor that I can see. Or if a board member hears of it, he calls the election supervisor to make sure it gets done. He's not dealing with some corporation.
Okay, Wendy was next.
Yeah. Thanks, Ricardo. Thank you for being here. So I'm just remembering back. I think it was the first election that Pacifica did where they decided to hire a contractor. And, could somebody remind me, was it the first or the second election when we did that?
Well, the first one was Terry Berucius.
So we hired a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then did we not then hire a company to do the technical parts of it, or was that the second year in 2005?
Well, that's a very interesting question.
Or 2005.
Mostern formed a company without...
okay, well let me... So all I'm trying to say is whether it was in 2003 for the 2004 boards or 2004 for the 2005 boards, I'm a little confused. But we did hire a company to do this, but it was after we hired a national election supervisor, and then... I believe that the company we hired was to do the technical parts of it, you know, to determine what the ballots would look like and what size envelopes they would have and to count the votes, like you said, there was still a person in charge of responding to these fair campaign provisions problems that are going to come up. I don't know. I'm coming into this kind of late, but I just wanted to point that out, that I think that when we did it before, we were pretty clear that there was a guy or a person, and then there was but the technical parts were handled by this other company. And I think, by the way, that it actually worked out best when we did it that way, even though each election has had its own set of problems. I think it is a good idea to hire a vendor to handle the election. Anyway, I guess I don't really have a question. I just wanted, I think that we were, that there was a reason we did it that way before.
Carolyn on the stack.
Followed by Anthony.
Okay. I heard someone earlier, but I couldn't make out the voice, who asked to be recognized. Who was that?
Leslie asked to be recognized.
Leslie, that's who it was. So Leslie, then Carolyn, then Anthony.
Hi, Ricardo, and thank you so much for being here. I'm slipping off to a potluck, and I wish I could invite you, but it's going to be delicious. Anyway, my question, as I hear you describe this, to get maximum separation between the NES, the company, and the board, we would probably have to turn over a lump sum to the NES to hire this company, rather than, I mean, actually physically pay the NES their salary plus a lump sum to hire consultants, rather than have the board cut a check. Is that what you're suggesting here?
It could be either way. We would come to terms with a firm, and we would have a number from them. It's going to cost, let's say, $50,000. We would then hire we would select the NES and say, we've got these people to help you, and it's going to cost $50,000. Now, we could route it through him, or we could pay them directly, but it doesn't matter accounting-wise, it seems to me.
So you're still suggesting that the PNB strongly suggest one company to the NES rather than present all four of them.
Absolutely. You guys are doing the heavy lifting on this. Why have him go through the whole process again? This cuts to the core of what our elections are about. So it makes sense for us to select a firm as opposed to let the supervisor do it. I'm sure he'll be glad that we're just turning it over to him.
Okay. I'm much clearer now. Thank you.
Okay. Carolyn, and then Anthony, and then myself.
Yeah, thank you. I think this does raise a question about the role of the supervisor, because we had a problem with this before. An independent contractor doesn't get treated like an employee. So if we put an independent supervisor in charge and said this is the company that we want, then that would be his decision after that. I think the time that Wendy's referring to is the 2004 election, when we had a supervisor who actually formed a company to do some of the work, but without letting us know. This was supposedly independent supervisor. And the company was formed, and we didn't find out until afterwards that the local supervisors hired were actually principals in the company, at least one, perhaps two. So that is very sticky. You know, what has to be transparent is the relationship between the supervisor and the ED, and then between the supervisor and the company. And I think once the supervisor is hired as an independent contractor, I should think it would make sense to give that person a complete charge and say, you know, this is the company that we want, but here's the money, and, you know, do your best without interfering, because at that point then we have a question of whether or not we have an employee or a contractor on our hands. But that is my recollection of what I think Wendy was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Anthony?
Yeah, thanks for joining us this evening, and congratulations on this new and
challenging post.
Thank you.
One thing about these two complications to the proposals we've gotten so far, let me skip one of the wrinkles for the time being and get to the heart of the other one. Some of the bidders have proposed, I guess you'd call them package deals. They say, if you choose us, ABC Company, then our Vice President John Smith will be the NES, and Mary Watkins in L.A. will be the L.A. LES. So if you choose that company, they intend to select the
there you go.
NES.
My contribution so yummy.
Can someone please mute their phone? Talking in the background.
But so my question is a package deal like that not acceptable if the NES has to stand above the contracting firm and crack the whip if need be?
I would suspect that the vendors will take whatever deal you offer them.
I don't see that answers the problem.
I'm sorry. I was looked like I was cut off. Let me respond fully. Again, it seems to me that this is such an important function that you don't want to commercialize it to the point where you're turning it over to a vendor and saying, run our elections, and then look at it when the results come down. The idea behind the election supervisor, as I understand it, is that while we maintain an arm's length from that supervisor, it's not so much a commercial venture, although it is because that supervisor is getting paid for her time, as it is a trust, a relationship of trust that we have with the supervisor that he's or she's not going to fail in their duty. A commercial venture, you know, it's just like a venture like any other. And so the way I see it is, you don't want to commercialize it to the point that you turn it over to somebody and say, run with it. You want to have some oversight, which is provided by the election supervisor, at the same time that you don't involve the organization in the election itself.
So this idea of a turnkey operation, if you want to call it that, doesn't fly?
Well, I mean, it doesn't fly as far as the bylaws are concerned, the short of it, because it calls for a person. But more important than that, just from a policy standpoint, which is outside my pay scale, but it seems to me that you don't want to commercialize this. You want to have somebody that people feel comfortable with, that they can trust. You know, maybe George Mitchell or, you know, some former senator or whatever. Not that that's who you would look for, but ideally you would have somebody who's in charge that almost everyone feels trust in.
And a vendor doesn't satisfy that criteria.
Well, some vice president of an of a vendor that you guys happen to meet with. I don't know. Well, why did you select him? Well, because he's the vice president of this company, which we have trust in the company. As opposed to, well, because the executive director selected this person based on these qualifications, then you list them. Mm-hmm. And ideally, the executive director will do her duty and select somebody who's got the qualifications to show on her face, on the face of her qualifications, that she's going to be neutral and impartial, and that she's trustworthy.